Good morning. This is Matt Winters, editor of the Chinook Observer and Coast River Business Journal. We're here after deadline this morning with Andy Day at the Long Beach Peninsula Visitors Bureau. Hello, Andy.
Good morning. How are you, Matt?
Thanks so much for joining us. Just in the interest of full disclosure, I should say at the outset that I'm a member of your board of directors at the Long Beach Peninsula Visitors Bureau, so not a completely disinterested party. Tell us a little bit about yourself. You've been director of the Visitors Bureau now for, what, a couple of years, or is it even longer than that?
About a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
In 2012, in April.
Mm-hmm. Now, you've got really strong connections to Pacific County and the region. T-shirts spring to mind for some reason. What? explain to people what I'm talking about.
Sure, yes. I'm a third-generation Pacific County resident. We actually lived in Copeland until I was 10 years old, and then made the big move to Maysville around the bay there. So, and I'm definitely a Pacific County kid. Really enjoyed growing up in Pacific County. And yes, my mother was has been doing business in Pacific County and was a Long Beach merchant for, I think over 30 years now. So that gives me a real unique perspective as well. And then I had been doing marketing work, consulting work in Seattle for the past 6 years when this opportunity came up, and I jumped on it as an opportunity to come back closer to family and give back to my communities.
Oh, good. Well, I've just switched headphones with Kathleen Morgane here, so we'll see how this works for a while. This
is better, yes.
Community radio in action. So tell us a little bit about Long Beach Peninsula Visitors Bureau. What is it? Where's it located? What's it do?
Right. Okay. Well, I'm really always happy to have the opportunity to let people know what we are and what we do. And essentially, we are what's called a destination marketing organization. That's commonly referred to in the industry as a DMO. And we are one of about 20 regional DMOs in the state of Washington, and we serve Pacific County. And we are located, we have a beautiful building at the intersection of Highways 101 and 103. It's the big sunshine yellow building at the flashing light in Seaview. And we do three main things, you know, if I have to break it down. It's very broad-based, but what it really boils down to is we bring visitors to the area. You know, our mission is to promote tourism for our communities. And so that's the number one thing we do. And we do that by marketing outside of our area. And the second kind of arm of what we do is to serve as a marketing co-op for members. So this gives an opportunity for all of our small businesses in the area to essentially kind of buy in on the marketing work that we do and leverage their marketing dollars and efforts. And the third aspect of what we do, which ironically is probably what we're best known for, is that we welcome visitors from out of town in our visitor center. We have an amazing visitor center and an amazing staff and pool of volunteers, and we host over 25,000 visitors every year.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know to drive by your location in Seaview on a summer weekend is really to see a place in just thronged with activity. It's pretty amazing some days.
It really is a bustling center of activity, and it's really fun. We love sharing the information of our beautiful area with visitors. We love helping them find the accommodations that they're looking for and you know, letting them know where the services are that they're looking for and what there is to do in the area.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of fun. We kind of pride ourselves on providing concierge service.
Mm-hmm. Looking back at the 2013 tourist season, I assume it's fair to say at this point that we can mostly look back on it. How did it go, or how is it going?
Things are going well. We definitely saw, you know, in 2012, we kind of came around the corner. And Pacific County, our visitor spending was up 8% over the year prior. And so we were, you know, back in a growth trend again. And then for 2013, you know, I haven't honestly had time to check for a couple months.
Mm-hmm.
But the last time I checked, we were up about 12% over the year prior for lodging taxes, which is a really good indicator.
Boy, I'll say. So you mentioned the figure 25,000. What sort of matrices do you look at with regard to use of the Visitors Bureau? What are you seeing there?
Yeah, we are always, you know, looking at our data and using that to make our marketing decisions. And, you know, we track every visitor that comes in. We find out where they're from. And we have a short survey that lets us know, you know, how they heard about our area or what brought them to our area. And so that way we're able to track the effectiveness of the marketing projects that we're doing and campaigns. And then also get feedback as far as where we should be concentrating our efforts. And so we have real solid numbers, and we're able to share those numbers with our visitors too, which is another, you know, member benefit.
Mm-hmm.
But we know, you know, where our visitors are coming from, how many are in state, how many are out of state, how many are domestic versus international.
Mm-hmm.
We have a breakdown of all the states. It's pretty fun checking the numbers. We also track the numbers of printed collateral that we distribute.
Mm-hmm.
And we also track our web traffic, of course, and
so
those phone calls.
So those numbers are all up this year?
Yes, everything mm-hmm. is up across
mm-hmm.
the board.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but we're seeing some shifts in the web traffic,
mm-hmm.
And I think mostly, in part, people are using the web a little differently, and so our social media numbers are coming way up, and our web numbers are actually shifting down.
Mm-hmm.
So if you combine those, we're still showing an overall growth, but it's just interesting to get that feedback and see how people are using the web differently.
Mm-hmm. Is the same sort of suite of information available in all locations? Do you have, you know, applications for iPhone and things like that that provide people easy access to whatever they're looking for?
Yeah. Well, mm-hmm. our website is one of the best performers for a destination marketing organization, for
mm-hmm.
a DMO.
Mm-hmm.
Our website, I think, is only outperformed by maybe two others in the state.
Mm-hmm.
We have a phenomenal, funbeach.com
mm-hmm.
is it's just a really wonderful website. And then we are actually kind of reinvesting in that this fall. We're calling it the Facelift Project. But part of that kind of website revamp is to increase the responsiveness of our website and make it even more mobile-friendly.
Mm-hmm.
So it will have a format just for tablet viewing and a format just for mobile viewing.
Good.
Because that's one thing. The other, you know, as we're always analyzing our data, you know, one thing that's very apparent is the increase in mobile use.
Mm-hmm. So obviously, tourism isn't what it was in August, but we're still getting a fair number of people come through, some of which has to do with clam digging. How does that all fit together? What is October looking like to you?
We love clam digging, of course. You know, first of all, it's just so fun. And it's fun for the whole family, and it's, I think, a real unique opportunity for families to participate in a subsistence activity, to, you know, go and catch their own food
mm-hmm.
and spend time on the beach. And so, the clam digs, when we get clam digging weekends, it's always good for everybody. We all love that. And our September, I think we came in just under 3,000 visitors, so still a very good month.
Mm-hmm.
And we're still seeing lots of visitors here in the center. I think just yesterday, even, which would have typically been, you know, statistically you would think that would be a very dead day, but we measure everything by how many sheets we fill out.
Mm-hmm.
But we still had 2.5 sheets, so...
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, we still do have lots of visitors coming into the area.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that we do, too, in our marketing efforts. We're very conscious of those trends and cycles, and so we work hard to position our growth where we need it, you know.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the other events in October? It's not completely dead by any means from a
visitor
standpoint.
We have lots going on.
Mm-hmm.
We have the Water Music Festival this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
We have the annual Cranberrian Fair. going on this weekend. We have Oktoberfest and Chinook next weekend. We have a wonderful art show going on this weekend. I mean, there's just, you know, that's one thing. Our event calendar is so full and rich, and we really, there is something going on year-round. and we always make sure, too, we try to have something available. There's a real good variety of the types of events. So.
Well, the Peninsula has been pretty famous, I think, for at least 30 years, if not longer, for putting on a whole variety of summertime events, especially. Do they remain an important part of the Peninsula's mix of economic factors?
Oh, you bet. You know, we have events, you know, the rodeo, I think, has been, I think we're coming into our 67th or 68th year for the rodeo. Mm-hmm. The kite festival is right around 30 years. We have, you know, these events that are just very much a part of our culture, and people really look for them and look forward to coming.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a really nice, you know, those events are a cornerstone for our tourism promotion, and they're a wonderful complement to the abundant natural resources that we have.
Mm-hmm. What's the situation with regard to organizers and volunteers for the festivals? You know, that's sort of the backside of it. People love to come, but
right.
Are people still loving to put them on?
You know, it is a lot of work. It is a lot of work, and I think it's pretty typical. You know, it tends to fall on the shoulders of the same, you know, mm-hmm. group of dedicated volunteers year after year, and so we're constantly having to look at new ways to attract new volunteers and, you know, find ways to make that transition feasible and low impact. And then we're also always looking at ways to be a little more sustainable in our tourism efforts, too, and, you know, not just promote the events, but promote the things that are available year-round. We have, you know, an amazing trail. We have fabulous museums. We have, you know, amazing food, and, you know, those types of activities that mm-hmm. are not volunteer intensive.
So do you see that being the direction that visitation will grow in the future, that sort of, you know, whole life kind of visitor that's coming to enjoy the culture and the history and the scenery, the total ambiance, or, you know?
Yeah, I mean, really, if we're plotting our growth, we need to be, you know, I guess, kind of responsible and mindful in how we direct that growth. And so we need to be smart about it. And so, yeah, we need to develop shoulder seasons, and we need to, you know, not be as dependent on events and not be as dependent on a volunteer pool. There are things that we can do to, you know, what's the old saying, work smarter, not harder.
Well, having recently attended the event for Jamila Lucas, one of the founders of the Ark Restaurant, it was really apparent from all the people that came to pay a tribute to her that there's been a huge growth in the sort of local foods movement in the whole Lower Columbia River area, and just a real appreciation for the kind of delicious life that we lead here. Do you see many tourists who come just specifically looking for great restaurants, great food, that sort of thing?
Oh, absolutely. You know, food is one of our three pillars. We have our outdoor activities, our cultural tourism, and our food. And it's not just the food on the plate, but it's the, you know, our oysters, our shellfish, our seafood, our fresh produce. We live in a very bountiful area, and we are so fortunate to have had Nancy and Jamila and so many other great people in our area that they were just really, I always say that they're the matriarchs of the fresh local food movement.
Sure are.
In the Pacific Northwest. And so they have given us a really proud heritage and legacy to springboard off of. And, you know, it's amazing. We do a lot of media hosting here at the Visitor's Bureau, and we had someone down from Seattle that works with Visit Seattle, And, you know, she pointed out, and I don't think it had even really dawned on me, but she's like, you know, you guys have the best food on the coast, you know, and it was just like, wow, we really do. It's amazing in such a small radius, but we've got, you know, 5 to 7 establishments that are on par with anything you can find in Seattle and Portland. Mm-hmm. It's really amazing. We're very lucky.
Right.
And that's not, you know, and then you can go dig your own clams and catch your own fish and pick up some oysters at a market. I mean, it's amazing. And I think, you know, our society in general is coming around to coming back to a higher appreciation of food and fresh and local food. And so we're really poised to leverage that.
This is Matt Winters, editor of the Chinook Observer and Coast River Business Journal, here after deadline this morning on KMUN. And with me is Andy Day, executive director of the Long Beach Peninsula Visitors Bureau. I should make some mention, and this is a good point to do it, that, you know, not only does our region share a lot of wonderful food and great restaurants and culture that, you know, draw people here, but the Visitors Bureau and the Astoria-Warrenton Chamber of Commerce are really working in much closer collaboration than they ever have before, I think. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Oh, absolutely. And that has been a real pleasure. It makes sense. You know, we always, in our marketing efforts, we always try to see things through the eye of the visitor. And, you know, visitors don't care about state lines or county lines and things like that. They're on the road. They're traveling. And they want an experience from an area or a region. And so, and I think, you know, we both recognize that. And I've actually was invited to serve on the board of the Astoria-Warrenton Area Chamber of Commerce as an advisory member. And was very very excited for that opportunity and grateful to have that opportunity. And I think both organizations, both communities realize the symbiotic nature. So many of our travelers are simply traveling up and down the coast. And so we have so much to share. And so we do a lot of partnering with our friends and it's same going up the coast as well, but especially the Astoria community.
One of the things we share is the Lewis and Clark National Park. Is it, you think, playing much of a role in attracting people to the region yet?
Oh, absolutely. You know, we get people in the door every week that are just, you know, and I don't know if there's a word for it, but they're just Lewis and Clark aficionados. That's not a strong enough word. Files, I guess. But yeah, they come in with their books and their diagrams and their charts and their journals, and you know, they're on a quest. So there are people that are very devoted. You know, cultural tourism is amazing, and we have so much here as far as we've got the Discovery Trail and all the interpretive displays along the trail, and we've got the Lewis and Clark Interpretive Center at Cape Disappointment State Park, and that is just an amazing, amazing facility, and they do such a great job up there with that. And it just really puts things in perspective. And then, of course, we have our Middle Village Station Camp, and that is, you know, the newest offering on the slate. But we're really happy to have that partnership with the National Historic Lewis and Clark's Parks, and it just makes everything so much richer. And like I said, it creates that continuity for the traveler that's so important.
You know, Washington State is, as far as I know, the only state that just completely axed its promotional efforts during the recession. It's making some effort to claw its way back, but maybe you can update us on what that's all about.
Right. So, you know, part of what we do here is kind of that the diplomacy and partnership. So what happened is, yes, in 2011, the state legislature did cut all funding for estate tourism promotion. And we were indeed the only state in the nation without that support. And actually, to put things in perspective, though, we were one of the lowest funded going into it. but still, it was a huge, huge burden for us. And what has kind of happened since is that the we formed, I guess, a grassroots organization has formed. It's called the Washington Tourism Alliance. Where basically people are, you know, it's kind of like us. People are buying in at a membership level in order to do just a very minimum level of, you know, website, travel planner, things like that. Mm-hmm. You know, essentially they call it keeping the lights on.
Hmm.
And then the plan then is to become an independent model, self-sustaining model. And we're currently in the process of creating the governance and the assessment models to take to legislation then and put that in place.
Mm-hmm.
So that, you know, moving forward, it will be its own entity.
Do you have any idea what the legislature's theory was? Or are we just so darn wonderful we don't even need to tell people we exist? Or,
you know, I don't know. It was very short-sighted. Tourism is the fourth largest industry in the state. It's the cleanest industry in the state. And just to give you some perspective, what some of our neighbors do, you know, British Columbia has a $48 million tourism budget.
Mm.
Oregon has a $12 million tourism budget. Idaho has a $7 million state-funded budget. And Montana has an $18 million state-funded budget.
And we have zero.
We have zero. I take that back. They did grant $1 million to be used over 2 years. So that's like a very minimal level. And the idea there was that would be used for the transitional time.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully that really paints a picture for folks. And, yeah, I don't know. It's when I go to regional and national conferences, it's quite frankly embarrassing.
Mm-hmm.
Although, it's really falling on these regional DMOs and these independent mm-hmm. communities to keep the marketing efforts going.
So how about local funding? How you said that because of greater visitation, we're raising more money. How does that money get collected, and who decides where it goes? And
right. Well, I have to give a lot of credit to our county, our communities, because we are doing really great work, and we are outpacing the state in growth, which is phenomenal, especially considering the state of things. But our funding comes from three main areas. We have our membership base, of course, and then we have we apply to the lodging tax funds for the City of Long Beach and the City of Ilwaco, and then we also apply to the Pacific County Lodging Tax Fund.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the three main sources of our funding.
Mm-hmm.
But it is in so many ways, like I said, a cooperative effort. I mean, you've got these members that give so much. And I tell you, it's just, I'm so proud of the team effort, throughout the whole community. These businesses that are members, our board, our staff, our volunteers, our county officials, everyone is so supportive and cooperative to the tourism effort, and I think that's why we've been as successful as we have been.
And both, you know, member organizations and just citizens at large volunteer a lot at the Bureau. You know, how are you fixed for volunteers? You looking for more? Or?
Always looking for more.
Yeah.
Always looking for more. But we have a really amazing core group of about 15 volunteers, and I'm just, never ceases to amaze me. They treat it like a job, you know. They mm-hmm. commit. Some of them are 4 hours a week. Some of them are 12, 15 hours a week. And they have to know so much. We get such a wide range of questions.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the questions that come up?
Oh, you know, but people, I see people walk in the door and they're like, what's going on this weekend? Or what is there to do here?
Mm-hmm.
Is probably, you know, what we hear most often. But then we get, you know, very detailed questions about park fees or, you know, amenities. And I have a this size RV, where can I, you know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it just, yeah, it's amazing the variety and the complexity of the questions we get. And we always do our best to help them. And but yeah, we get people that come in that have special interests. And of course, it's all about, you know, everybody has different kind of standards and ideas. So the volunteers are really good about kind of chatting folks up a little bit and determining, you know, what it is they are looking for and how we can best meet those wishes.
I'm often sort of surprised at how mystified many people continue to be about the tides. What are some of the funny things that people do ask about?
Yeah. Oh gosh, we actually have a list of funny questions.
What are some of the good ones?
Well, I mean, I think our probably all-time favorites to this date is when we had the two very, very sweet ladies that came in with their reservations in hand looking for the Queen Mary.
Right.
Yeah, and so we had to inform them that they were not in Long Beach, California, but in Long Beach, Washington. And we did scramble and made arrangements for them to have a very nice lunch.
Great.
At a local restaurant.
Well, it's a little hard to imagine what sort of corollary you can find for the Queen Mary in the local area.
Possibly the
lightship at the Maritime Museum might be as close as we come, I guess. Huh?
Well, they were delightful, and they did have a good time, and they stayed, and so that was really fun. But we get a lot of questions about clam digging, about driving on the beach, and oysters. Where can we get oysters? How can we dig oysters? camping, biking, dogs. You know, everything you can imagine.
So the volunteers really have to be kind of the reference librarians for the whole area.
They do. They become area experts. Mm-hmm. And like I said, it's really great. Each volunteer kind of has their own banter spiel, and they're all just really wonderful. Mm-hmm. And I enjoy them, and I learn so much from them as well.
So how would someone go about volunteering if they want to?
Well, they would contact our lovely volunteer coordinator, Suze Overgaard, and she is just wonderful. She, you know, runs the schedule and is responsible for the training and oversight of the volunteers and kind of facilitates that effort. And she is the person to contact. And yes, we always welcome new volunteers. This is a great time for volunteers to start too, because you can, you know, kind of learn the ropes and do the training when it's not as busy. And then, you know, come summertime, there's a line out the door.
Right.
It's intense. not to dissuade anybody. It's fun. It's very fun. But
so they would get a hold of Sue at 642-2400?
Yes. Yes, please. Yeah.
So you mentioned keeping close track of where people come from. We're just in our last minute, by the way. What are some of the biggest locations that people arrive from, or what's the like weirdest place or furthest away place anybody's come from that you know of?
Well, I'd say far and away our biggest segment is the Seattle-Tacoma market, and that makes up nearly a third of our visitors. Mm-hmm. And then you know, close second then would be as far as domestic would be the Portland-Vancouver market, and then our biggest international segment, of course, is B.C. We have a lot of B.C. travelers, and we love them.
Mm-hmm.
And then now we have, and this is the thing, I mean, I couldn't say, we have people from all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of any place that we haven't had a visitor from. So we've seen a real increase in visitors from China.
Mm-hmm.
We have a real dedicated pool from Germany.
Yeah, great.
German travelers love it here.
Oh, cool, Andy. Well, thanks so much for being with me this morning. I have to wrap it up, but it's so interesting. We could talk forever, I'm sure, about all this, and often do in private. But thanks again to listeners. This is Matt Winters, closing it up after deadline for this week.
All right. Thank you, Matt.
Thanks.